I'd be very busy.
Oh,
It was, I could actually sneak attack you guys in the studio and just be like, yep.
well, just part of that story is unreal. It's like it's a sacred space.
Yeah.
Just like,
Because we don't
what
want
are
to be
we
giving
talking?
Taco Time bad press here.
I know, and I don't know that I want to like talk about my role in it, but
Yeah,
well, I mean, we can talk about it a little bit before we start. So you're having a shitty day.
I
Yeah, it was just a long day. Honestly, not even bad, just long.
think whoever you are, there's just some days where the world's working against you, right? It could be super serious, right? You could be dealing with a death in the family, something terrible. But also some days it's just work and whatever you're going through, the world is against you.
Yeah. Wait, are we recording right now?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not going to
Well,
say everything that's on my mind, but I agree with you, man.
yeah, don't give away trade secrets, but the day is going against you.
Honestly, there's no way to say any of all the crazy stuff that went down today without it being, the one thing I can share is I spent like an hour and a half organizing this order for a customer who was going to five different buildings in downtown Seattle. And then at the last minute, she's just like, oh, you guys can just drop it all at one building. And I'm like, that was our original plan. I spent 2 days redoing everything to make it so it would work with our delivery guy. But yeah, that was the first part of my day. Like that was like item one out of, 10 where I ended up, my car getting attacked by a bomb. So it was a wild one, boys. And Ted, like you said before the cast, I think it's gonna be spicy. We all got a little, what would you call that? A little Christmas spite in us right now? I don't know.
I would say the proper amount of holiday spite, not Christmas spite.
Yeah.
I just
Yeah.
love. So the point of the story is Cobb finally goes to Taco Time, backs his car in, and then a bum attacks the back of his car, and it's like, that's horrible. And he's like, it's not even Seattle, dude. This was in Juanita.
Dude, Ted, it wasn't the back of my car. He came and slammed his hands on the hood, and I was backed in, so the only way I could go was forward. It was crazy. Super aggressive.
What did he yell?
Dude, I don't really want to talk about it on the cast. It was intense. I'll tell you guys after, but it was not a fun encounter.
This
I
doesn't
know
even
it's
be on the
funny for the
cast.
we're recording, man. I'd rather not say. It was a
I'll
weird
bleep
end
the
to a
whole
weird day.
thing. It'll be a 10-second bleep pre-cast if we leave this on. I could delete it or bleep everything that you say from here on out.
I got a pass, dude, on this one. I'm sorry.
Bro, it's like you're insulting my editing skills. Now I got Christmas spite.
Good. And then it makes a full house, all three of us.
Christmas spite, New Year's joy. All right, well, screw it. Let's just start the real podcast then.
Good day. You are listening to a podcast, but this isn't just any podcast. Just any podcast couldn't do this. Or this. What the? This is the podcast starring the Ted. Starring the Ted. Star. The. Starring the Ted Smith and Cobb. Ha-ha! The podcast starts. You better wear a helmet now.
All right. Welcome, everybody, back to a brand new episode of the podcast. For the host of this here podcast, the Ted Smith. Greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
Up there in the upper circle of hell. What's going on?
God, boys, I'm usually a pretty happy, upbeat, and excited person, but we're deep in popcorn season now. Fourth quarter, and a lot of shit's going down. But my head's above water. I'm still alive, just barely. And I made it home through traffic, and as was alluded to, through dealing with some adverse circumstances to cast. So. Let's do it, but if we talk some mess tonight, we talk some mess.
All right, down there on a shocking
I don't
note.
need this job.
Right. I'm not even supposed to be here today.
Don't need this fucking job, Ted.
The bottom square, wearing sleeves, but a cool looking shirt. Not positive who it is. Oh, yeah. MCTP, Matt Conner, the producer. What's up, Matt?
Got a job, got my hand, I'm feeling good. Let's go, boys.
All right, so full disclosure, Matt, we're talking about how things are going to hell in this world. And Matt shared a video of a Christmas parade down in Palm Springs where it appears one motorcycle cop tries to do a wheelie. And like, yeah, just wipes into the crowd, like really hurt people. But like, I'm pretty sure his hand got torn off. And it's just like, dude, you're a motorcycle cop. And I could see it in his brain. Like, no, I got this wheelie. Everybody's kind of doing slow donuts. I got the wheelie. And then it's just like, ah, I don't have it.
Oh, yeah. And those bikes are huge that cops are on. But yeah, he ended up shattering his forearm and taking off his own hand, plus sending 10 people to the hospital.
Yeah, like you ever seen those videos where you see like the, I mean, I always call them chips, but like the California Highway Patrol guys and the way they maneuver those things slowly is amazing. I'm just like, that guy had to be new. Like, what got in his head?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. I mean, do you let him go from the force for that? Or like, what? How do you even properly, I guess there'll probably be a civil suit, right? Ooh.
The civil suit's going to be rough. Hopefully nobody is seriously injured, but well, he probably
Was two people in critical, mate.
Yeah, like I don't know if he gets thrown off the force. He's definitely done riding a motorcycle for that police force.
Class action guarantee lawsuit that much. In the works.
Yeah.
Probably on behalf of all the victims in one case. And yeah, can't imagine it's going to go, well, 'cause there's video. We saw the video. The jury's going to see that video.
I feel like sometimes you wonder, you're like, how did they get like a cop stationed here? Like, you know, some like distant parking lot at a sporting event or maybe the airport shift. Like he's headed straight to the seventh circle of hell for sure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and you like, I forget too. It's like they're riding real motorcycles with real engines. You know what I mean? Oh, yeah. It's like, that's a real bike he's firing up. There's that funny, like, I love The Wire. So, like, season 2 or 3, the one boss is like, McNulty, where's the one place you think would be the worst to work? And he's like, ah, the docks. I never want to be a boat cop. And then he fucks up royally, and he ends up on the docks. Yeah. And he's got to be like, well, I'm learning to like it.
How many times have you seen The Wire, Ted?
I think I've watched it like through the series probably 3 times.
Okay.
Right. See, yeah, I think Jesus, you're going to have to work with me tonight, boys. Breaking Bad, I've done twice.
Yeah. We're still on 24 again. Dude, that show hits. It holds up so good.
I also finally finished Wyatt Earp and the Cowboy War. Just unreal.
Like book, movie, series? What is it?
So my new thing is I like these docudramas where it's like reenactments, but based on true events.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Actually, I like a good docudrama, too.
Oh, I'm obsessed
with it. Like some of the OJ ones were really good.
Yeah, or the Aaron Hernandez one I just watched.
Yeah.
So it's funny, actually, Wyatt Earp and the OK Corral, it brings up a good thing. So, like, people forget after, like, the 1860s, right? Like, we're poor, right? Like, Civil War cost us mightily, right? We had to get help from the French, like, these other governments, you know, for military support and stuff. You got to pay them back. So now, I mean, the boys are struggling, right? Like, the railroads are failing. They're not all connected. They're not going to the West. Gold is not discovered yet out in California. So at Tombstone, they find silver, right? And this is where Wells Fargo, which I recently have learned, two guys, those were their last names. They combined them. But those stagecoaches were like some of the only ways to get silver back to the East Coast. So then J.P. Morgan, you know his name, he's over in England, meeting with like the king and like the richest guy in Europe. And he's like, don't worry, I have a plan. I'm going to buy all the railroads. You just got to back me. And they're like, well, we're worried about your gold standard. He's like, no sweat. We have silver now. But then these goddamn cowboys keep robbing the stagecoaches. Wyatt Earp and his boy and his brothers, they're the marshals, blah, blah, blah. Doc Holliday was a real doctor, was a dentist, had tuberculosis, moved to the West in a random gunfight, saves Wyatt Earp. That's how he becomes his buddy. So then the OK Corral happens pretty early on. But then the cowboys are smart. And the one guy goes to the newspapers like, they started it. So then Wyatt Earp goes from like lauded lawman to like, maybe he killed these guys. But at the same time, like JP Morgan is like, hey, Wells Fargo, we got to secure the silver loads, right? Like, I'm trying to get stuff back. So yada, yada, yada. The cowboys end up killing one of his brothers. And this is all going on. The bad guys keep filling the papers, you know, as we call it nowadays, mainstream media, right? It's like the Earps are the bad people. But then Wyatt Earp does kind of cross the line and goes from like, once they kill his little brother, his middle brother, he's like, all right, this isn't just about justice. I'm kind of a vigilante. So then he kind of goes on a killing spree and this and that. And then finally, like JP Morgan and a couple other people are like, get it on the president. They're like, you've got to. First, they send out Grant. Or not Grant, Sherman, who I love, one of my favorite generals because he burnt the South. Sherman goes out there and it's like, hey, look, I don't feel bad that we burned bombed Berlin. Like, you f*** up, you find out.
Find Jesus, out. Ted, I thought I had a bad day. I don't know what happened to you.
Well, I mean, look, run up the score. Teach him respect.
Buddy.
And he sends Sherman out there, who's like a wild jet. And Sherman's like, it's crazy. So anyhow, they end up sending out all these people, blah, blah, blah. Earp, basically, up until the 1920s, Wyatt Earp is just thought of like a hired killer. And then he gets into Hollywood right before he dies and kind of reframes the story, which is probably the proper way. And now we think of him as the hero. It just... it's wild stuff. And the fact that Wells Fargo and JP Morgan are involved, I'm just like, this stuff is mind blowing.
Oh yeah. Dude, I mean, Wells Fargo's logo still is like that stagecoach, you know?
Yeah.
I always think about that. Like if we were in the Wild West, like what would our roles be? You know, do you guys ever think about that? Have an idea of like what your role would be? Honestly, a pretty good cop topic, but we're early.
I mean, given my last name, I assume a blacksmith.
Yeah, all right. So you're like making horseshoes and stuff at that point because people were kind of done with swords. Cool knives, yeah. Horseshoes, bayonets. That's cool. I think I would be a saloon keeper. I feel like just kind of like, you know, small business owner / vibe guy. It's like, hey, man, like Ted, it's been a long day. Have another shot of moonshine. This one's on me.
Do you have billiards upstairs?
Well, if that's what you want to call her. yeah, I could see a salon, a saloon / whorehouse for me. I mean, the thing is, I don't think I would be Johnny Law, but I also don't think I would be hurting people. And the saloon keeper is like, you know, mostly middle, but like maybe slightly towards the dark side. That feels about right. You know, I don't mind a little underground activity. People are, you know, like there's a whorehouse running up above my saloon. You know, that's their business. Matt?
Yeah. I mean, I'd probably be a clown of some sorts. I don't know if they weren't called court jesters by that point, but like clowns had some edge back in the day. They're badass. Like not yeah. necessarily like a rodeo carny? Clown. I don't know what if I mean? Could handle that.
Like going town to town, basically with like a show of some kind.
Yeah. Yeah. Just kind of travel with the circus, go see stuff. And you just kind of, you know, have fun seeing different places and travel around with the animals. Like, yeah, I just feel like it's a good existence.
Like, we didn't talk about me watching the show before on this cast, right?
No.
No?
All right. So you got to keep in mind, Tombstone was like a very sophisticated town. Part of the reason Wyatt Earp's older brother survived is that the doctor that worked on him was way advanced. And he was super advanced because he was the first doctor to be like, I think I'm going to wash my hands before I reach inside people's bodies and pull out the bullets. And he changed medicine. Like they had a theater. Like it was a nice, fancy, proper town.
Wow. That's what's up. Where what is Tombstone in like Arizona somewhere? I have no idea where that even
Yeah.
is.
Yeah. Well, it was a territory back then, but yeah, Arizona.
Yeah, Cochise County, Arizona.
Dude, I'm telling you, it's
Whoa.
wild. And even like how we think of cowboys, but they were the original cattle rustlers. Like they were bad dudes, as opposed to me listening to Amarillo by Morning or thinking about, driving cattle across a plain and being a real Texan, wearing my hat. But it's like, no. The cowboys were the worst people.
Well, I mean, some cowboys were driving cattle, right? They would get hired to like drive the herds up to Chicago for slaughter and stuff. But yeah, there was also cowboys who were stealing cattle and,
But
all
I'm
kinds
pretty
of other
sure it
stuff.
all comes after this gang called the Cowboys. Like
Oh, yeah, it could be.
it's the first time like that term comes into history. It'd be like 120 years from now if people are walking around and like, yeah, I go to LA, I buy a red sash and I'm a Crip or a Blood. You'd be like, yeah, that used to be a really serious thing, man.
Dude, this Tombstone looks crazy. It's a really small town. Like Google Maps is just mind-boggling. I think the biggest takeaway from this whole little segment is that most people, when they think about this, they choose sort of an enviable, like debonair career. Like, oh, I'd be a cowboy. I'd be the town sheriff. I would be, I would try to be like the captain of the railroad, the conductor. Matt, I'd be a clown.
Well, I mean, I'm just the blacksmith in town.
Old Smithy, I'll get you set up.
It ain't much, but it's an honest living.
Honestly, same. I mean, I'm just basically a bartender.
Yeah, your life's in danger every day. Is it's like, which side am I on?
The thing is, though, like the saloon keeper is good at keeping secrets. Like they know more that goes on the town than most people. Help make things happen, but also like kind of neutral, neutral ground in the saloon.
God damn
Much like
it.
taco time.
I'm just out here being a natural taco. All right.
Trying to eat a goddamn taco for dinner. That's so hard. That's so much to ask. Am I getting attacked by a homeless man?
Do love long, hard day. You know what? I love taco time. Just gonna chill out. If it's even worse, eat my car.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Well, you can't win them all, boys.
Yeah, you're not Keith Lee. You're just a guy eating in your car.
The thing is, like, making popcorn for a living is mostly pretty easy, but like occasionally there's days where you're just like, man, sometimes there's a reason they call it work, I mean, I'm sure you guys both get that with your job too. Like occasionally it's like, God damn it. I like my job, but that was hard to sell.
Yeah. Like I was doing it right before you guys popped on. Like we have live day on Friday. It's fine. I'll tell people now, but like I'm singing DMC's part of Christmas and Hollis with Mike in front of a live band, in front of the live audience. Right? And it's like, it's going to be awesome, but I've been pacing around listening to that fucking song 20 times trying to make sure I have the lyrics correct.
Mom's cooking chicken and collard greens.
Yeah.
Great song.
Rice and beans, macaroni and cheese.
I feel like it's kind of an unknown hit from Run DMC. Like now that they've like faded into the annals of time, it's like most people don't know Christmas and Hollis. They just know it's tricky.
All right. Huh. I feel like more people would know Christmas and Hollis. It's Tricky is a great song.
I'll look it up on Spotify. We'll see what their most played is. The internet can solve this.
Matt, what do you say?
I think you forget about one of them 11 months out of the year. And then I don't know how many people think, oh, it's Christmas time. I'm going to put on Christmas and Hollis. And how many other people are kind of more like me where you have to hear it somewhere else. Someone else has to put on it. Oh, yeah, I forgot this is a Christmas song. I don't hate them all.
Boys, what if I was to tell you we're both wrong?
Is it the one with the Aerosmith? Walk This Way.
You got it. Number one, 548 million listens, Walk This Way with Aerosmith. Number two, It's Tricky, 309 million listens. Then Walk This Way Again, 274. Then It's Like That somehow is above Christmas in Hollis, which feels crazy. And then Christmas in Hollis.
It's like this. It's like that.
Like this.
Yeah, so everybody has stresses at their jobs.
Even Run DMC.
You know what? This one's going off the rails already. So I had a buddy that, you know, dealt with a personal bad loss in his life. So finally on Thursday, me and my other buddy, you guys know Rob. Rob's going to make him a lasagna. I said, hey, we're coming over, bringing a lasagna. If you want to go out and have a beer, cool. You just want to sit and chat, cool. Yada, yada, yada. Talk to the family. Of course, Rob being fucking Rob, handmade everything. The noodles. He puts a homemade bechamel sauce in his lasagna. I mean,
Jesus. Who's this guy? Like, Rob, I'm sorry, but leave some pussy for the rest of us. Jesus.
I mean, you remember at Meltdown, it was like he couldn't just make goddamn grilled cheese or ham and cheese. We had to have mortadella and cheese, grilled cheeses.
He does ball, dude. I love that about Rob. He's fancy.
So we go over, we get my buddy out of the house, go to the bar, have dinner. Then he's like, you know what? Like, can I ask you guys a favor? So we're like, whatever you want. And he's like, I want to go out. I'm like, all right. Go to another, having some drinks. Now it's getting kind of late, like midnight. We're in Burien. We're going to go get some tacos at a taco stand. Next door, looks like there's a bar open. Let's go in there. It's not a bar, boys. It's a goddamn Mexican nightclub. Ooh. Security, we're getting patted down. We get in there like, you should get a booth. Booth, buckets of Modelos, shots of Mezcal, live band. One guy's playing tuba. Another guy's playing accordion. I mean, it was... I'm pretty sure we're the only people that were American were speaking English. I mean, it was wild. Everybody's dancing.
Awesome. Loose hips, just yeah, nice, dude. That's awesome.
just one of those, Matt, I'm telling you, it was wild. Just one of those nights where I was like, what in the hell are we doing?
Sometimes at that point though, like once you're already in, you're just like, all right, go with it, you know? When in Rome. You got to embrace it.
Oh yeah, and people were loving us. Yeah, like I can't do a being somebody that doesn't speak English. Like, oh, how do you know this place? Oh yeah, we come here. Obviously not.
at some point, you get drunk enough where you just start trying to speak Spanish. You know.
Well, and I had never seen like a band like that. I was like, it's a thin line between like a German Oompa Loompa band and like this Mexican band. Again, tuba player, accordion. I was like,
are you like a polka band?
Yeah, but it's like more like Mexican kind of country music. I don't know.
Yeah,
I just
kept, I got you.
This is going to sound terribly racist. We just kept being like, Chente. They're like, yeah, guys, Chente. But then once the band's done, of course, I had to go, hey, I love you guys. Great job. Then, like, now they're playing, like, dance music. I mean, it was lit. Couples are dancing. Again, I just love the security guys in a camo flap jacket. Like, I got a real pat down. So he's like, are we in a cartel place? I was like, stop being racist.
Oh, that's awesome. Wait, and where did you say this was? Was this in White Center?
Burien.
Burien? Nice.
Yeah, so just south of White Center.
Yeah, that's awesome, man.
Yeah.
Oh, good for you, Ted. I like that you embraced it with the Modelos, too. Most popular beer in America right now.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. I started drinking them once I bought that cowboy hat.
Oh, I think most people started drinking them when the Bud Light thing went down. That's when they surged ahead.
Yeah, I get it, but like, I don't know, that little gold rim when I'm in my cowboy hat, sometimes with the Modelo, I like to push it up and go, partner.
Oh, that's awesome.
All right, so this will be our last podcast for the year.
Whoa, all right. Well,
Oh, well, he loves that.
Cobb loves
oh, I
it.
don't know how that.
All the hearts.
Why did I don't know what I do where these emotional reaction things go off in my screen. Wait, so last podcast of the year, December 10. Okay.
Yeah,
Early.
maybe I should, probably could have given you a little more heads up, but it's the way we're rolling tonight. We're in it.
That's okay.
Yeah. So I started thinking, like, we got to think, we haven't had a good slogan in years.
That hurts to hear, but you're not wrong. We do need a new Make America Great. We need a new year of the hustle. It's time.
Yeah. So
All
I've
right, I
been.
have a suggestion. Wait, go ahead. Go ahead. See what I'm saying.
All right. So I wanted your thoughts where it's like a steal from Marshawn, right? Like, what's it? Handle your chicken or whatever, like this and that. But like, it's got to be the year of you while also doing something different.
All right, Matt, any thoughts? Any initial brainstorm?
No, I mean, I feel like we've done this a few times, and the year of the hustle just happens so organically that it's like it is just such a cool, like, perfect thing the way it came together and everybody jumped on board. I mean, and now I feel like there's always a little bit of the year of the hustle. It doesn't have the slogan. I feel like it just became a part of me.
We're always
And
chasing that high.
yeah, I mean, I definitely, we've had multiple where like we did it and then like March hit and we're like never to be heard from again. Some listener could probably email us six other things we've done that we never mentioned after St. Patrick's Day.
That's true. And it's probably specifically embarrassing when they listen to like people will binge the episodes, so they listen to all of them. And then they're like, God, you guys were saying this last year, like 1 week ago. It's like this year, man, this year's gonna be the greatest.
But I mean, I always think about it in terms of like making moves. Like that's just kind of always my thing. It's just like making big moves, making moves in general, making moves literally a couple of years back. And I just think about that at like making moves and send it. Like my buddy Roger, who I met through George, was always just like, you just gotta send it, bro. And like that echoes through my head at an alarming frequency where I have no idea what I'm doing with my life or with my day or in that moment. And it's just like, just send it, bro. And it just means a million different things depending on a million different circumstances and contexts. But yeah, that's, that's kind of where I'm at. It's just like, make moves
Like
and
that
send
cop?
it.
Like that cop?
Huh?
Did he send
He definitely sent it, dude.
If that's what went through his head, I might have to
Those
stop
were the
thinking
two
send it.
words. Yeah, send it.
I mean, it felt too obvious not to comment on. So we were talking about that pre-show. I don't even know if we talked about that on the show, but yeah. He's like, all right, dude, I was listening to this podcast and they said, send it. I'm at this parade. This is my moment. It's like, I'm just going to gas it into this crowd. I lost my hand. Yeah,
Yeah.
crazy. And, Matt, weirdly enough, I make fun, but the one I was thinking was literally only one word off from that. So we're similar tracks.
Okay, what was yours?
Send it, bro.
Send it, bro.
Bro,
No, because
send it.
that would exclude our female listeners. Gonna be get it. That's it. Get it. Just think about it. You're like out there, you put up, nine reps and the weight's pretty heavy, the bench press, and you're like on that 10th one, kind of squirming against it. You're like, you know what? Get it. Boom. But yeah, I don't know. Matt, I think there is a part of you that's totally right that we've been chasing the high of the year of the hustle for years now. And we're never going to get that back. But I do also like what Ted's saying. I like having a slogan going into the year. I feel like 2025 is kind of something special. We're coming in strong. I think a slogan is not, I don't think we're ever going to live up to the year of the hustle, and that's okay. But I do like the idea of having a rallying cry for the
I
cast.
did have one in the relationship, my relationship for 2024. I called it year of 2024, get your own fucking door. So, because I always hold get the door for my girlfriend when we're getting in the car.
I was like, I'm gonna need some background on this.
Yeah. But no, I'm definitely with you.
How
I
long you
love
been dating?
it.
How long you been dating?
8 years.
Yeah, fuck that door.
Dude, we're all coming into this in a bad state. Ted's like, burn the South, bomb Berlin. Matt's like, get your own fucking door. Merry Christmas. You know what? And the show's over. We'll see you guys next year. Like,
But
Jesus,
basically,
boys,
my
boys,
slogan,
boys.
just saying, we've been hustling for years. I just want everybody to reset, take care of you this year. I literally wrote, year of me. And it's not like
Nice.
doing something amazing, like, I don't know, just like,
Self-care.
yeah. And
I
not like
got
the
you.
fun self-care, like the hard work self-care.
Okay. All right. I don't hate it. I think we're making progress, you know? Like we're all kind of slowly creating a shared vision for next year. Matt's a get stuff done guy. I'm a get it, which is sort of just like a catchphrase, basically, you know? And then Ted, inner self work. All right. It feels like we're on the right track.
I feel like I need a red shirt year. Like the next few years are going to be pretty tough. So it's like, you know what? I'm going to red shirt this year. I'm going to watch the guy in front of me, see how he plays, and just, get it down.
Like, Ted, you're on the bench this year. Don't worry. Just watch the guy in front of you. Make sure you get his stuff down. Like, you'll get the call up.
Yeah. I mean, it
Kind of a
worked for
rebuilding year for the
Mahomes.
program. What's
I
that?
said it worked for Mahomes.
Yeah, sort of a rebuilding year for the program.
But I do think there's something to like the year of me, for everyone, to kind of, it's a very externalized world, and to just kind of take stock of your internal situation, and maybe you need to send it. Maybe you need to hustle for the year. Maybe you need to get it. Like it can just take on so many different meanings. So I do like that.
All right, thanks, Matt. Because I like, you know me, as I wrote down the year of me, that's why I'm asking you guys. Like, I want to people kind of understand what you just said. And that's what I mean. Like, whatever it is for you, like, that's what we got to do this year, in
There's
my
so many
opinion.
distractions. Yeah.
Yeah, there is. Dude, I'm thinking about doing a month no digital outside of work.
I like it.
Dude, I don't hate that. We did 90 days and it was very helpful.
Man. I can't even imagine.
I got this little light up calendar. It's actually cool. I just bought one for, I don't want to say because he listens. Well, actually, you know what? I'll get it to him before he gets it. But one of my employees listens. I just got one for him. They're sick. It's from this company or this girl named Yetch, and it's like a light up calendar that just each day you just hit one of the lights and it lights up, and you basically build like a big chain of them. It's pretty cool.
Nice. By the
That's
way, I ran
fun.
into a acquaintance of yours who was a faithful listener at Jubilee over at the WAC on Friday.
An acquaintance of mine.
Yeah,
All right.
used to play indoor with him. Probably some of the finer vodka I've ever had in my life. But we were joking, and I said something, and he knew everything. I was like, he's like, no, dude, like I know Cobb, like I listen every week. I've been listening forever. I was like,
Man, I've
no
played on so
shit.
many indoor teams. I honestly don't know who you're talking about, but you can tell me after or you can pop it in the chat. It's all good.
Yeah, well, there's another prime example, right? I'm at so Thursday night partying at the Mexican nightclub. Friday night in a, I'm gonna brag, the jacket, the tux I rented, the jacket was phenomenal. I don't know if I sent you boys that text. Oh, your boy was out there stunting. But I'm talking to this girl and she's like, yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know your show and this and that. She's like, tell you what though, I really like Uli's sausage. And they have one called the men's room. Do you know about that? And I'm like, yeah, that's the radio show I work on. And she's like, what? And just, it was funny. Just, I forget. I do that every day. It's like, oh yeah, like some people just like that product because they like that product. She also knew the salsa, but she had never heard of the show, didn't put two and two together. And I'm like, that is wild.
Oh yeah, you never know like what people are gonna, I don't know, how people are gonna experience the stuff you're putting out in the world, you know?
Yeah, it's like how many times I've been with you where it's like people know or people know Cobb, and then it's like, what have you been up to? And he's like, well, I have a popcorn shop. I'm like, they're like, really?
I know, it is funny.
Yeah.
Honestly, oh, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying it's wild.
I was gonna say the craziest one of those of all time happened on this podcast in like our first season. We had your boy Migs on the show, and we're sitting there chatting. And at that point, I had known Migs for 5 years. I mean, you guys know the story, but I'll just retell it. I had known him for 5 years. Like, we were friendly, we're kind of friends, and so we're chatting, whatever. And then he says something about STP. Like, Ted calls him STP. And I was like, STP. It's like STP. I was like, that's so weird. And then I put two and two together. I was like, wait, dude, Steve, are you Steve the producer? And he was like, yeah, man, you didn't know that? And I was like, bro, and I freaked out. I went full fan mode. I was like, bro, I listened to you for like 10 years as a kid. I was a huge The End listener, 107.7. And EndFest was like my first concert out of the Kitsap County Fairgrounds. And dude, it blew my mind. I was like, you've been like a legit hero of mine for 10 years. We've been friends for five, and I didn't even know it was you. And so, like, you know, I mean, was that embarrassing? Yes. Was it also like a highlight of my life and friendship with him? 100%, dude. It was rad. And it was cool because we were already past the phase of like, what do they call it when you're like starstruck with someone? Because like we'd been friends for 5 years. So like it wasn't like, oh my God, now I can't talk around him. I was like, it's just Steve. It's just my guy. But yeah, it was hilarious, dude. I just never put it together.
I still feel that way about one of the your coworkers down at the market. I'm like, God, she's awesome. But like, I don't really like know her. We're all at the wedding together. And then I said to somebody else, like, she's got a lot of Christian Chenoweth energy. Can I say that? And they're like, don't say that. I was like, all right.
Who's
might
Christian
have been.
Chenoweth?
She's a tiny little blonde, famous like Broadway singer and is like in Disney films.
Oh, all right. Yeah. I've noticed like people don't like to be told they look like someone else, even if it's very flattering or meant to be flattering.
Yeah, that is a
Oh,
tough one.
yeah, you're right. Although, in all fairness, Christian Chenoweth is 56.
No, right. But just the same energy. If you see an interview, you'll understand where I'm coming from. But you're right. That's like whoever's girlfriend it was like, I get what you're saying. Don't say that. I was like,
You're
I
not
mean,
wrong. It's just bad timing. It's bad form. Man.
let's get some other stuff out. I'm ready to talk. What?
Okay.
Goddamn. Dabo Swinney and Clemson sneaking into the ACC title game, kicking a field goal to beat SMU, taking a spot, I would say, from Ole Miss. Like, what are you guys' thoughts on the college playoff?
Dude, Ted, let me give you a macro thought before we get into that, which is I just figured out this podcast and what we got going on this week. I think what we're doing with our collective hatred and anger, even though we're headed into the holidays, we should be joyful, we should be happy. This is like wringing out the dishcloth. Okay, all the dirty water is just coming out today. We came in hot so that we can start anew, heading into the year clean, cleansed, refreshed. So if there's anything you got to say, now's the time to get it off your chest. Yeah, the football playoffs, there's always going to be bubble candidates, you know? But if they deserve to get in, they would have gotten in. They would have been a top four seed. How about that? How about them apples, Ted? There used to be four teams. Now they got, what, 8 or 12? F
I'm with you. It's like everybody's like, well, what about Alabama? Well, sorry, Alabama. Maybe you shouldn't have lost to f***ing Vanderbilt.
Yeah, exactly. There goes your shot.
You have three losses.
Yeah, I have no sympathy now. When there was four teams, I have the sympathy. When there was who like when there wasn't a playoff and it was like, oh, maybe these guys are the champions, maybe these guys, but they never played each other, we'll never know. But now, what are their te 10, 8 teams or 12?
12.
Yeah, there's no more excuses. If you, I mean, be in the top four, get in, you know, otherwise, you're leaving it up to the gods.
Now, with that said, I'm glad they did it. Like on December 20th, we get to watch Tennessee at Ohio State. And I am, first of all, I hate Ohio State, much more of a Tennessee fan. But if Tennessee beats Ohio State at Ohio State, I hope Tennessee plants the flag and Ryan Day might get fired on the field.
Oh man. Yeah. And like also, you know, Oregon is running white hot. Texas barely losing to Georgia. Texas looked a lot better. Georgia is the superior team, I gotta say. Like, the college football playoff is gonna be sick. Every matchup is crazy.
Oregon, I mean, I hate to say it as a Husky fan.
They're so good.
They're just that good.
just every time I watch them, I'm like, oh. Like, they're just so like, good.
They're rolling. And Lanning has them all fired up. Like, I hate the Ducks, but I'm like, oh, I like Dan Lanning. He's kind of exciting.
<It's> like so fast too. Their offense can strike in like three plays, 50 yards. Like, it's insane.
Yeah, and they're big and physical. They're not scared anymore. And it's like, uh-oh.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's the story that's going on covered. Their offense is so exciting. They don't even talk about the fact that defense wins championships, and they got one. Like, their defense is sick too. I mean, Penn State's defense was great, and they got shredded.
Yeah, and credit to Penn State. That was a shootout. I mean, that's how they got in the playoff. I was like, damn.
Yeah, that was a shootout. And, you know, same with, like, yeah, the Texas-Georgia game. I mean, Georgia, I think, outplayed them. But Georgia also was coming off of that 8-overtime Georgia-Georgia Tech game the week before.
Yeah, well, look. I'm all in on Texas sometimes, but like, they just didn't have the toughest conference schedule.
Yeah, they had an easy conference schedule, I think. I mean, they had a couple of tests in there, but nothing crazy. I mean, they have a good team. When they play against big teams, they usually play big, but in my opinion, they're not a top three team right now.
Yeah, well, they're still in the playoff.
Yep. Yeah, hook them.
All right. I'll tell you what, if you're going to be arrogant and demeaning to people, you need to be good at your day job. And Aaron Rodgers is not. Right?
Yeah.
I'm just like, you can be smug and all this and that when you're winning MVPs and Super Bowls. It's like, now you're just bad on a bad team, dude. Like, like, I'm all for spirituality. Like, maybe we should wait on that trip to Africa or wherever you want and go to fucking mini camp.
Yeah, maybe we show up for practice.
He's just an enigma, bro. You wouldn't understand.
I know. I'm just like, dude, like, that's how people know you. Like, you're Aaron Rodgers. You have to be good. Like, you have to be good at football.
Right? Yeah.
You can't act like you're the savior of football. Speaking of saviors of football, Russell's back. I respect that.
Oh my God, dude. I was about to bring him up and I was like, you know what? I don't even want to say anything because, you know, controversial character at this point.
Oh, I'm back on the rush train.
100%.
Let's ride.
Like, good for him, dude. Like, he couldn't have been that bad in Denver. So I'm like, you know what? Good. And that guy was on the track for the Hall of Fame. And then I think really what helps in Pittsburgh is that Mike Tomlin is the face of that organization, that team, right? They have a Watt brother on. Like, they have stars, but you hear from the coach. Whereas, like, when Russ left Pete, he was supposed to be the man in Denver. And, like, I also heard he fired his social media team. But, like, good. Now he's just playing ball again, like, getting back to who he is.
I do like that. I like when people get back to who they are. Speaking of playing ball and being the face of an organization, how about that crazy MLB contract? You guys see that?
Juan Soto?
Yeah. Guaranteed. Yeah.
Guaranteed. Did you hear part of it was that he asked the Yankees for a suite for his family, and they were like, we don't do that. Jeter paid for his suite. And he's like, all right, cool. I'll go over to the Mets.
I heard that part of it was that they, like, kicked his family out of a game or something, and he was pissed. I don't know. But said, I'm not really – I like playing sports. I don't know that I'm enough of a sports nerd to understand this deal. How on earth does $765 million contract to Juan Soto make sense for the Mets? Make it make sense.
Look, I don't understand all of it. I fathom there's money to be made. I will say this. Never, ever listen to especially baseball owners. There was years where they were like, we're just not making money. Bullshit. Right? If you had to be good to make money, the Mariners would go to the playoffs once in a while. They don't. Right? They make hand over fist and merchandise. like other products. Like I've heard that like Major League Baseball has so many corporate sponsors, they don't even really need people to show up. Whereas
Heard
like
that too.
the NFL still kind of counts on people showing up to the games, right? Like they make a lot of money on those days. Baseball's like, eh, whatever. So any
Mariners
other
made
sport,
$86 million last year net profit.
right? So any other sport, it'd be ridiculous. But it's like, well, it's baseball. Like I don't know what they're doing, but it works. And I don't know, screw it. Hopefully Juan Soto, it's like, well, pay him this much money. Let him do his thing.
Wow. Actually, yeah. That's looks like it's a game of franchise value. Oh my
Yeah.
God. Wow.
Dude, that's the craziest thing is that the two most popular leagues in the world, right? English Premier League, the NFL. English Premier League, those guys get paid a ton. The NFL, when you look at their contracts compared to baseball, basketball, and hockey, you're like, what is going on? They make so much less. Now, we're already talking millions of dollars. So you got to take out normal humans like us. But on when you think about it that way, it's like, how do the football guys make the least? They're the most popular league. But it's also kind of what makes the NFL awesome is that the clubs, they have salary caps, which I'm not a fan of, but they give back to each other. So the parity helps. That's how you can still have teams in little towns like Green Bay, right? Like that wouldn't exist.
Well, yeah, and the other thing with the NFL, I mean, they also, there's no competitor. Like, people aren't going to leave. If you don't like the MLS, you can go play in Europe, you can play in South America, MLB, you could play in Japan. Now, granted, those leagues aren't as evolved. NBA, you can play in Europe, but I mean, the NFL, like, what are you going to go play in the Canadian Football League? Like, you make less than college athletes now. So, that's the thing. They're the only game in town, kind of like the UFC at this point. And so they have tons of pricing power. Also, those teams are huge, I will say. And yeah, their pay is probably below what it should be. Oh, and the other thing I was going to say is, the NFL, how many games do you play a year? 16 or something like that? Versus like the MLB, they're playing 100 and I don't know, somebody who's into sports
63
of,
and
yeah,
62.
163 chances to put butts in seats or 16. So literally 10 times. I mean, that math kind of does itself.
Yeah.
It does. I'm always amazed at it. People are like, look, we can bitch about athletes and stuff. First of all, we should bitch about actors more. They make 30 mil for 3 months of work. But it's like, let's not bitch about the NFL guys. They're the athletes, like as far as athletes go, making probably the least. It's also why they go bankrupt the most. They call it helmet syndrome because nobody knows what they really look like.
Yeah, so no one knows what they look like. So when they go out, they have to spend a lot of money to get attention at nightclubs and things, is what I've heard. That's helmet
Yeah.
syndrome.
Got to
Yeah.
ball out.
Well, you too, Ted. You're a radio guy. No one knows. You
Yeah. All right,
know
I'll
what I
leave
mean?
you
They know
with
the
this.
voice. They don't know the face.
Do you guys know the actor Timothée Chalamet? Charbonnet?
Chalamet? Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think about him?
I think he's hot.
All right. I always thought he was foreign, like kind of an artsy-fartsy dude.
Yeah, he seems like sort of a French, like kind of exotic guy who's very popular right now.
All right, so did a little research. Turns out he grew up in New York City. His father is French, so he has dual citizenship, speaks both languages, went to NYU and Columbia, got his theater degrees. Last week, in front of the college game day, they're going to have him on. And I'm like, this is a mistake. Wrong, boys, wrong. Timothy knows ball. Like, not only did he make the correct picks, like just the conversation in between, and I'm like, how does the artsy fartsy guy from New York City know college ball? You could hear it in my voice. I was impressed.
He's him, man. The only thing I gotta say is like, this is gonna sound gossipy and bitchy of me, but it is the end of the year and we're getting it all out there. That chin cannot be real, right? I'm looking at it right now. There's no way in hell. No way in hell.
Matt's gonna have to bleep this. Now we're just being c***y.
We have been the whole time, Ted. We just hid it all year. It's like the like what's that, like the 12 days of Christmas, like the countdown. Like each day we just get something off our chest. Like, you know what? And another thing. This recycling. No, I'm just kidding. Oh
There's
man,
no
that would be
such.
a nice Christmas tradition if we just get shit off our chest before the end of the year. Sort of like a bit of like Festivus.
There's no such thing as low carb bread. Just full.
Oh yeah, it's the Festivus, the airing of grievances.
Yeah, exactly. Festivus. You know what? Bring your pole.
Dude,
And I
exactly.
think there is a wrestling element too. Like, I'm down for that holiday.
Yeah, why not? At this point, dude, I feel like we have nothing left to lose.
All right. For we got to get to emails and what's man in the cop top. Like, I'll leave you with this. At some point at an after party on Friday night, I know these two girls, they're like best friends, but they kind of go at each other all the time. And like, maybe I just smoked a joint and I finally went, I think you two should just wrestle. And they were like, oh, what do you want to see, like chicks wrestle? And I was like, no. I just mean, like, obviously there's some aggression here. Like, just fucking wrestle already. Like, figure it out. And then, like, I walked outside and I was like, that was way too, like, dude, bro culture. Like, well, just wrestle about it, figure it out.
How did they react?
They were thrown off.
That is a very bro suggestion. I like it, especially if you were somewhere fancy.
Yeah, right. It was just hearing them go back and forth, and maybe I'd been quiet for like 10 minutes. I was like, I think you guys just need to wrestle and figure this out already. Like, who is the dominant one? Who's in charge?
Yeah, let's sort this out. The mat doesn't lie. It's almost Christmas, okay?
It's day six of the 12 days of Christmas, wrestle day.
Yeah, wrestle it out. We're squashing this tonight. No holds barred, 3 second pin.
Yeah. It's like, look, I'm not happy he pinned me, but at least we figured it out. He
Yeah.
knows where I stand as a friend.
Exactly, man. That just is what it is. And hopefully, you both grow more mutual respect for the other one's power through that exercise. Friendship forged in fire.
All right. We'll take a break here. We'll come back with emails. What's Madden in the cop topic? Right. Welcome back, folks. Special shout out to our sponsors this week. Cobb's Popcorn.
Oh,
Go to the
nice, dude. Hell
market.
yeah.
Go down to the lower level. It's right there on Western. Maybe take some stairs and earn that popcorn. That is not their
1500
slogan.
Western Avenue.
Jeez. It's not their slogan. It's just
Yeah.
me being a smart ass because it's a lot of stairs.
That's the official Ted Smith flavor.
You walking back up, and you can have the big bag. I forgot to ask you. I don't even know how many emails we have. We're just rolling. You know what? This is old school. This is what they like.
Shooting from the hip. All right. Sorry. I was getting a phone call. So here's my one regret is had I known that we were going to have an angry Grinch cast, I would have solicited people's problems. I would have solicited an airing of grievances from all of our fans, hearing what they're ready to just let go of from this year or whatever crazy stuff they wanted to get out. But not doing that, it's always a grab bag. What's up?
I think they still can. Nope.
All right.
Politics aside, that's too easy. Like, right? I went with Dabo Swinney and Aaron Rodgers. Like, what grind your gears about 2024?
All right. Hold on.
Don't even like that baby hippo. I mean, I said it.
Damn, bro. That's dark.
That
Maryland
is.
boy Ted. Oh,
That
go
was
ahead.
too much. That was too much. My bad. It's a
Yeah,
cute
that's
animal.
easy, bro. We got, I mean, yeah, dude, like a few things go wrong, and all of a sudden you're like, bomb Berlin, burn the South. I don't like baby hippo. Jesus. Like, bro, we're gonna pull out of this, dude. Like, at some point, like, winter is over, and we got to live with what we recorded here. Like, you're throwing out some wild shit, my guy.
Well, not the hippo. I'm just saying the other two may have deserved it.
He doubles down. Maryland boy Ted, greetings to the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land. All
Cobb, I'm going to first address that I've been listening since the beginning, and this is my first time emailing, but not my first time on the pod. Ted gave me a shout out when I went to Smith Family Beer Garden and made sure his family knew we are everywhere.
Nice. Awesome. Nice.
Secondly, I'm starting to think we're in a simulation. Dude, hell yeah. I'm here for it, brother.
Damn it. I got stuck in this conversation in my tuxedo.
Dude, even Google, when they just put out their, like, oh my God, what's that? Their quantum computer thing. They were like, and by the way, it's probably a simulation. It was like a footnote in their paper. I was like, see? I was like that Leonardo DiCaprio meme where he's like pointing at the screen.
Oh.
That was my life. Yeah, exactly. Nice, Ted. So let's see. Secondly, I'm starting to think we're in a simulation. Before Hurricane Milton, I was supposed to move to Bradenton, Florida on a whim. Guess where the eye hit? 1 week before, I met the love of my life at a random concert that neither of us wanted to attend. Now I have a new government job and a woman I never dreamed of having, who I'm proposing to, and we have, excuse me, plans on starting a family. This isn't a simulation, and I won't tempt fate and ignore any more signs. Damn, dude.
Wow. Yeah.
That does feel simulated. It's like he was
what
like
was
about
the
to break.
Concert?
It was a random concert, Ted. That's all we know. We only know what they give us. I try to give it as much color as I can, but you know.
I thought you were cutting it off. Like, I hope in parentheses it was like.
Oh, if I'm like just some random, who the f*** is Taylor Swift?
Hootie the Blowfish.
I read them pretty much verbatim. If I had anything on top of it, it's just it's my immediate response. Okay. Ted attaches a photo of a Maryland country artist I saw in Everett, Luke Borchelt. He just toured with Shaboozy and of course yelled "Go Terps" in the show of 30 people. Always, as always, Larbon Taylor.
Nice,
dude. That's awesome. I've been loving Shaboozy lately.
He was on SNL last week, dude. Crushed.
Oh, wow. Damn. So he's getting up there. I come in and scale big. Greetings.
Also, I want to put this out there. Similar because he's a black dude with dreads, but Antoine Walker out of the state of Washington.
A musician?
Yeah, country dude. But like, I don't, his lyrics are like, he has a whole song about just drinking at the like Oxford and Snohomish. I'm like, oh, I kind of like this.
Well, if we're shouting out local Washington guys, people already know him, but Benson Boone, I've been listening to a ton from, why can I not think of the name of that area where the fair is? Monroe.
Oh.
Monroe local. There's two fairs, Washington State and do the Puyallup, but yeah. So anyway, really good music also.
First of all, son, what you're talking about is the Evergreen State Fair in Monroe.
That's right.
I've been known to have a couple beers at the keg and queue before I go to that fair.
Greetings to the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
All the land.
Oh, dude, I remember this. I saw this one in the middle of the night, and I'd like to respond, but press, I'll read what he said. Cobb, I will not have you besmirch my man Dan Carlin like that, saying he lulls you to sleep. I would have been a lot more interested in history if my teachers talked with the energy and passion he has. He sucks you in. And the way he reads any quote, the dude is practically yelling. I lament the historical wisdom you're missing out on while you're asleep. Brother, I agree. His podcast is incredible. I just have heard the, what's it called? Supernova in the East series so much that now I've just like trained myself where his voice puts me to sleep. But you're right. He brings history to life. His impressions, his quotes and stuff is literally so good. And I can't tell if he's just doing the whole thing, like just with notes and he's like freestyling it or what, but man, you want to talk about somebody who's passionate about what they do? Yeah. Love Dan Carlin. So I totally agree. Anyway, what lulls me to sleep are YouTube ASMR videos. I'm not going to explain what ASMR is for those that don't know, but to those that do, I get the tingles. Yeah, Jesus.
That's my ASMR impression.
Although my tolerance to tingles has built up recently, those first 5 years after I discovered ASMR, sublime. Cheers, sleep man.
That's the goddamn mayor.
What do you mean?
He loves that ASMR stuff.
Yeah, for some people it works.
Yeah.
I've never gotten into it, but dude, we don't kink shame on this podcast, Ted. We only have a few rules. One of them is no kink shaming, my guy. Come on.
Fair.
I know we're angsty tonight, dude. We're throwing out a lot of crazy ass, but you know, whatever people are into.
Yeah, but I don't even think that's kink shaming. That's sleep shaming.
Fair.
Which we shouldn't do sleep either. Shame. We don't sleep shame. We don't kink shame.
You sleep 12 hours? What the fuck is that?
How do you expect to hustle? How do you expect to be a champion? What are you, well rested with your bright eyes and your bushy tail? Go to hell.
Not in 2025. Not if you want to stay on this train. All right. The podcast. The show I have always enjoyed and rewatched is Parks and Rec. I used to get stoned and try to stay awake from the four episodes Netflix would play in a row. Right before they ask if you're still watching. Can't watch it now because it's on Peacock. Thanks as always, Wes. All right. Short and sweet.
Yeah, that is always awkward too. Especially just a rainy Saturday afternoon, end of February. Are you still watching? Like, yeah, dude, it's 1 p.m.
I'm clearly still here. All right. Last email. News in other countries. Germany. Hey, guys. Your last podcast was spicy, and I liked it. Just wait for this one, Lance. I'm pissed. I've been listening to you. I wish if people knew, like, the trauma happening in each of our lives separately behind the scenes. Like, I don't know that it would be as fun and upbeat, but I've been listening to your podcast from, like, 2017. And the entire 6 years, 2018, since then, I left Seattle and moved to Germany. You were talking about mainstream media and news. Here's an interesting short on how Germany handles news, but in such a way to try and keep it objective and not really state-run. Cool. I'll check it out. I'll check out your link. Let me know if there's anything else you're curious about. Cheers. Lance, your listener on Foggy Lake Constance.
Yeah. Well, also, I'm going to backtrack a little bit on the bombing of Berlin that the Allies did. Is that also, I respect the Germans were like, no, keep up the ruins so we don't do that again. They're like, look how much this hurt, right? Like, this was terrible. Let's rethink before we just try to take over Europe.
You know, not Ted, I didn't love when you went off and said that the South should burn and that Berlin should be bombed. But at least you were standing on business. Now, the backtracking, I don't know if I can handle it.
All right, fine. I'm just saying, I'm fine. Look, all right, you know, I'll say it again. Like, look, that cost a lot of money, cost a lot of American lives that the South had done. So once Sherman goes down and, like, you know, and you kind of do that thing in Vicksville and we're kind of winning stuff, it's like, yeah, let's burn it, man. Let's make sure they don't have food or any supplies to come back. So it's the same thing. Like, by the time the Allies get to Berlin, it's like, they have been fucking us up for years. Like, punish them.
Look, this is, dude, I like that it's the end of the year because this is just starting to feel allegorical. You're just like, just burn it all, man. Burn it all.
But, like, all right, to put it in
perspective. For the record, we're good friends. I'm in.
Yeah, for the record, like, last weekend on Rivalry Weekend, right? Like, there's all that stuff, you know, Ohio State, Michigan, this and that. Penn State scored a touchdown with, like, less than a minute left. They're already beating Maryland by 30-some points. And the Maryland coach got pissed. And I'm a Maryland fan. I was like, no. Remember years ago, we didn't shake their hands. Like, we can never be like, oh, they're running up the score. Or they're like, no, we made a point to make it personal and piss them off. This is what you get.
Yeah, you got to reap what you sow.
Mm-hmm. Donkashay.
God, this sounds like we have so many enemies, dude. I got enemies. Got a lot of enemies. Jesus, boys. The only person who's not like just, I mean, like Matt seems fine. Matt seems well adjusted.
I can't tell if he's having fun or just annoyed with us.
This is enjoyable. No, this is a really fun cat. I'm not in the same mood. I'm not as spiced up as you two. Quite frankly, I'm just trying to go watch the season finale of 24 after this. So I'm just like, yeah, guys, this is fun to watch, but I don't have the energy to participate with the same fervor that you do. But this will go down as an all-timer. Like, if this is how people remember our 2024, it's gonna live on in the podcast history.
Yeah,
Yeah,
and
maybe we'll
generally, I
fuel into
feel like
your
Cobb and I are positive dudes.
Truly. That's why it's nice to get it all out, man. That's what Festivus is all about. We air our grievances now, Ted. We wring out the washcloth, and we're ready to rock on January 1st.
Oh, that's such a good reference. All right, I think it's time to see what's
Hey,
Matt.
what's good? What's Matt?
Whoa. Before we get to what's Matt needs,
Hey, what's good? What's Matt?
Whoa.
Check out with what's Matt.
Hey, what's good? What's Matt?
Whoa.
Before we get to what's Matt needs,
Hey, what's good? What's Matt?
Whoa.
Check out with what's Matt.
All right. Yeah. Well, it's been pretty chill, quite frankly. Actually, we're looking to renew our lease, and so I emailed our property manager. I was drafting it up, and my girlfriend was like, "You're too nice. Take that part out." Like, we're playing hardball. So I was like, "Yeah, I just need to drive down to the Whole Foods parking lot and just get amped up. I hate that place. So many dumbasses." And we are playing
That's the
hardball,
spirit, Matt. That's
though.
the
Get in,
holiday
Matt.
spirit.
Get in there.
We're playing hardball. I took out all the pleasantries. I met with my, we had breakfast Sunday morning with a couple of my clients who are landlords and property managers, and got the behind the scenes on how their minds are working on the other side of the negotiations, and you know, we're getting it done. So those great breakfasts, a lot of fun out on the deck of Keady's, and yeah, I just love that place. We walked down, walked back in time for,
Benedict? Benedict?
No, I've been getting the ultimate omelet, which has like everything in it. Bacon, sausage, mushrooms, all the vegetables. I was like, "What's in the ultimate omelet?" A couple times ago, I was there, and she was like, "You see all the other omelets? Everything from all of them." I was like,
That
"Sounds like me."
is ultimate.
I hope when it showed up, you were like, "Well, where's the guac?" Bitch, you said ultimate.
So shout out Keady's, they're great. And yeah, just had a nice little start to the Sunday. Came home, watched the we went up to look at another condo in the area so that we could email to the property manager that we're exploring our options, so don't yank us around. And so, yeah, then made it home in time for the witching hour, and the Seahawks game, which was just a ton of fun. And then went to the hot tub. Let me think. Saturday, I worked a good amount. Tyler made some really good turkey meatloaf. That was really dank. Big turkey meatloaf guy with gravy, and mashed potatoes. And so I played the Thanksgiving song by Nicole Westbrook, which I play all year round. I'll just pop it on a random July day just because I can. And so I've been doing it for years. It started as kind of a bit, and now it's just a part of me. But definitely not afraid to listen to it in December.
He doesn't seem as salty and angry. It's like, yeah, he's eating fucking turkey meatloaf in the hot tub watching the witching hour. I know I combine three things, but I'm like, it does sound nice.
Went to the hot tub Saturday. And I think we had just walked around the neighborhood, and I checked the score of Texas Georgia, but we were watching 24, so I was like, I don't really you know, it's not the college football playoffs. You know, like I'm excited to watch that chaos unfold. But Georgia had the lead, and then I saw Texas got the interception. So I was kind of checking the play-by-play updates on my phone as we were walking, and then I got home just in time for overtime, or just in time for the field goal. And then I was like, look, I'll go to the hot tub, like we said, but I'm going to have the game on my phone. And that was not a popular decision, but had to be done.
Trust me, when I talk about watching a lot of these games, oftentimes it's on my phone, like in a car, in a store, at somebody else's house. Yeah. Dude, when he pops off that helmet and Georgia has to send in the other quarterback whose arm doesn't even work.
Yeah.
Like, that's fucking ball.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
It was awesome. Let him hit.
Yeah. No, it looked like a great game. And yeah, then I'm just like kind of going backwards. I don't think we did much Friday. Thursday night, we went to the Firebirds game and had second row tickets that one of my clients gave me.
Go Birds.
Yeah, went with Max. Max is a weed grower, and they're harvesting right now. So he just reeks. It's not like a guy with weed in his pocket. It's not like a guy who just smoked a blunt or just smoked a bowl. It's this like trichome coated scent that's more like a skunk than, you know, anything else. And there was so many comments about him that were made by passerby while we're walking around the arena. It was so fun. But he's just a wild dude, and we were second row.
He kind of looks like a guy that may have just smoked a joint or a blunt too.
Right.
I don't even know if he smokes anymore, but I'm just like, I would have been like, oh, dude, what else you got?
Yeah, yeah, no, it's not the smell of smoked weed, but yeah, it's strong. And but it was so fun being second row and just screaming at the players. Like, I lost my voice trying to scream at the goalie. So the first period, they had like the Stars, Texas Stars, who I hate the Texas Stars now, Cobb. so much.
Me too.
And so
hey, Dallas.
I was screaming, and you know, then but on the first period they had like 13 shots on goal or 14 shots on goal, and we had one shot on goal. We scored on ours, so it was 3-1 after the first. And then it ended up being, they went back and forth a little bit, Firebirds came back and ended up being 6-4 Firebirds for the win, coming back in the third, right in front of us. Because we were second row on the goal line, on the side that the Firebirds score on in the first and third. So that third period action was all just right in front of us, and we were screaming. And this defenseman that I hate, I can't even remember his stupid name, but it looks kind of like it has bitch in it, and that's what we were yelling. And at the last two goals, except for the third empty net,
unleash the fury.
Yeah, he broke his stick in frustration. He broke his stick on the goalpost on the fourth goal, and then on the fifth goal, he snapped it over his leg. And yeah, we were just taunting him as best we could. But by that point, my voice was gone, straight up.
Don't get mad now. Don't get mad.
Yeah. And there's two guys that were on the Firebirds the first two seasons that are on the Stars now. And so the first couple periods, I'm like, man, it's good to see Cole again. It's good to see Hughes again. And then by the end, I'm like, fuck you guys. Like, we weren't swearing.
That's the spirit.
My client has season tickets. I don't want to look bad for him. But yeah, we were talking a lot of smack. And
that's that holiday spirit, Matt.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I aired all my grievances and just projected everything that I don't like at the Stars that night. So
onto like some 20-year-old hockey players.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, Ted and I are no different, dude. We're screaming at college football players. It's the same thing. They're a proxy for our anger.
Yeah.
Kansas sucks. I have no idea about Kansas, but they were playing Texas that day. Yeah. Kansas sucks.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I don't really hate Virginia that much, but fuck them.
Fuck them, man.
Yeah, that's
also
it.
Also, Ted, I was going to say, Ted, I just saw this photo you sent us of you in the tux. You do look sharp, but that's the night you were trying to talk girls into wrestling? You were in a tuxedo?
Yes.
At a black tie event?
Yes.
Yeah, I should just wrestle. That makes that suggestion so much more wild and out of pocket. Like, so much crazier than just two women at a bar.
And for people that don't know, like, it's a very, like, I like that jacket, but it's me holding a espresso martini and basically like a gold elevator.
Yeah, yeah, this is, so you're in a gold elevator with like this crazy, like, black patterned tuxedo jacket, like, dressed to the nines.
And that guy that just smoked a joint's like, I don't know, maybe you guys should just wrestle and get it over with.
Jesus Christ. Unreal. Unreal.
Well, I guess it's about that time.
Cobb topic.
Constant online misinformation and negativity. Excessive advertising. Slow internet speeds. Poor customer service. People not following basic etiquette in public spaces. That's the AI overview of what grinds your gears in 2024. And weirdly, those are all things we engage in on this very podcast.
I thought we were going to pick one. And I was like, people that don't return the cart. No. They're not part of our society.
Dude, have you seen the cart narc on YouTube?
No, I just drives me up a wall. Sad. I know there's something on it. Just like, just return the cart, dude. It's not that far.
Ted, I got the guy for you. Remind me when we're done with this. Carton Arc on YouTube. So good. Actually, I'll make a little note. Yeah. Okay. So we were talking earlier about what grinds your gears in 2024. Obviously, it's become a bit of a theme for us tonight. So I type it into Google just to get some background. And literally the first like eight things that the AI mentions is things on this podcast. So I'll reread. Online misinformation. We are a wealth of misinformation. And negativity. That's what we're all about tonight. Excessive advertising. We do run ads. Slow internet speeds. I don't know that we slow down people's internet. Poor customer service. Our customer service is awful. We sometimes read your emails. Sometimes we don't.
Yeah. I mean, I've been planning to get together for about 3 years.
Yeah. In all fairness, though, the price is right. We don't charge people. People not following basic etiquette in public spaces. Again, telling women to wrestle at a black tie affair. Insane. Political polarization. We got more into politics this year. Climate change inaction. We've done nothing. And oh my God, and literally the last one, the increasing reliance on technology in everyday life leading to potential disconnection from real world interactions, aka Aaron believing that this is a simulation. We hit every one of these things that grind people's gears, dude. We're the problem. So anyway, for the Cobb topic this week, and just to end out the year strong, air your grievances. What grinds your gears in 2024? Email us, literally the word email at thepodcast.com. We'll read them on air, or you know what? F*** you, maybe we won't. Send them in. All right, boys, what do you got?
We don't even know if anybody can hear this. It's a simulation, man.
It's all in your head, man.
You know, it's funny. I tell that story, but now that you've seen the picture and you're like, wait a minute, it was that kind of event? And you're like, yeah, you guys should just wrestle. It seems so awful. But you know me, I was just like, I don't know, girls, figure it out.
It is way more insane with you holding a martini glass in a black tie, like a full tuxedo in a gold, like an inexplicably gold elevator. Like, it looks like the Trump Tower. Like, so many questions. And it's like, you guys should just wrestle.
You know what, boys? I've been lying. Nobody's seen me in person. I live at Mar-a-Lago.
Oh, man. So, boys, what grinds your gears in 2024? Anything else you want to get out there?
What?
The year is almost up. This is your last chance to get it in because next year we're starting strong, starting positive.
I'm ready.
Get it.
Old white ladies driving white Lexuses. They're back with a vengeance now that the season's picked up down here. They're the equivalent of the Honda Odyssey on the east side of Seattle. And they're just messing up the traffic flow for everyone, but most notably me. But that is my new on the road, like, top agitation. And keep in mind, I drive like 5 miles at a time at most and have like 15 lights. But if I hit three of them, you know, I'm pissed. And chances are at least two of those were caused by an old white lady driving a white Lexus and not understanding that the left lane is for passing and going fast. That's my biggest issue.
I think technically, I don't know if it's dubstep. Like, I don't know what happened to EDM and trance and good stuff. Now it's just like...
Literally sounds like gears grinding.
Yeah.
It's like honestly, that South Park episode where everything just sounds like farts.
Yeah, and it's like, we could just turn the speakers up, but we're just manipulating the soundboard. And like, I get it. I don't know. I came to vibe with people, not mosh pit. But again, I don't want to hate on the vibes. It just, I don't know. Seems like it's a lot more like moshing. Like, can we get back to like, I don't know, even dudes in blue dresses, like kind of nice. We're all hanging out. We're vibing out.
Yeah, it's like too grindy, not melodic enough.
Thank you. Grindy. That's the word. Like, it's like, exactly. Well, the best part of the drug we're doing is supposed to be the MD part. I feel like this is mostly the MA methamphetamine part.
Yeah, truly. Ted, before we wrap up, do you mind if we give a little, like, I don't know if we can each go out on something in the year?
Sure.
Okay, cool. Well, all I wanted to say is, you know, and thinking about all this stuff that we're kind of pissed off about, a quote did come to mind. And so I just want to say that, you know, this podcast has been very fun this year. I've had a great time. 2024 has been a beautiful year. I think 2025 is going to be something special. It's nice to get all this, you know, off the chest. Today was a wild day, but in general, you know, we're really blessed. We have a lot of great things going for us. And I'm 100% grateful for that. I'm grateful for both of you guys. Love having you in my life. Love getting this just like weekly check-in. They say, you know, like men will do anything to avoid therapy, including starting a podcast. So here we are. The quote I want to leave people with, you know, we're talking about stuff that pisses us off. But a quote I heard a week or so ago that really hit is, well, you're not changing, you're choosing. So keep that in mind and have a great 2025 or great new year and Christmas. And yeah, thanks.
Yeah. That's great. I would say one thing that I've really been embracing this year is like everybody talks about gaslighting and like how it's like this awful thing of manipulative, toxic people or whatever. And I kind of tune that out. I keep my circle pretty small these days. You two are a huge part of it. This podcast is super fun and, you know, a big part of just kind of my week and just something that I always find myself thinking back on or looking forward to. You know, most of my circle at this point is from this podcast. Like it's Tyler and Carson, the lawyer and his girlfriend. And then Max, I met at the station, like, yeah. So, but I, you know, I don't really focus too much on, you know, external stuff like that. But I gaslight myself into a grateful perspective, like with a pretty immense fervor on a regular basis. And the results have been pretty awesome. So, you know, I just, anytime I hear about gaslight, I'm like, I do got to gaslight myself to be, you know, and that's just kind of a little mantra that I've developed over the year of like flipping that term into something that I do with myself. And it's been quite powerful. So just something to chew on over the holiday season, reflecting on the year that's gone by and getting excited about what's to come. If you're looking for it, you can talk yourself into a lot of things that you're grateful for.
Yeah, I would just, I don't know. I would like both of them, but I would just say, just make sure to be there for yourself too.
I like that. Self-care. It is important.
Yeah. Well, it's the year of me.
Coming right up.
All right. With all that said, I know we're kind of bitching and we're spicy tonight, but man, have a good Christmas. Right? Decorate the tree. Hang out with the boys. Hang out with your girl. Hang out with your parents. Hang out with family. Hang out with somebody else's family. Enjoy the holidays, man.
Yeah, the holidays are honestly awesome. It's nice to just take a break from regular crazy life and make some dips and watch some football and have a good time. Yeah, I'm with Ted. Enjoy it, you know?
Yeah, and like between like college football playoff and NFL, like we got a solid month of ball, boys.
Yeah.
Oh, great month of ball, great month of dips. And, you know, to be a little morbid, like, you know, you just never know who's going to be around next year. So, yeah, take it in for all that it's worth. Like, we're going to have some crazy playoff games. And, yeah, just it's a good time to appreciate what we got.
Yeah, man. Love you, boys.
Love you, too.
Same.
All right. For MCTP, for Cobb, the Ted Smith, this is the podcast. Cheers.